And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m. We come your way also Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We link to our guests, and our guests are returning, or at least one of them is, and are certainly glad that he is being joined by his significant other, his partner, his wife. And we thank Jonathan and Andy Goldman for rejoining us here on the program to talk about sound, a sonic Valentine, if you will, for Gaia, as the term goes. We're going to be talking about a very special event that's coming up, believe it or not, next Sunday, and we decided to have them on the program prior to the event so you could prepare for it. And I want to welcome both of you, Andy and Jonathan. Welcome back to the program. It's great to have you.
Oh, Richard, it's great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much, Richard. We are delighted.
You know, it's fascinating to me, as Jonathan, you and I had the wonderful experience of chatting last time. And actually, it was last year, technically.
That's right.
Discussing all of the aspects, if you will, of sound, or at least many of the aspects. Let's put it that way, many of them. And I have found it so wonderful to be able to share these concepts with both our listeners and other people too, and trying to bring a sense of understanding. The other aspect of it, too, is even though I could sit here and say, well, there is a difference between the power of words, but the reality is that words are made up of sounds, vibrations, if you will. And we're going to get into this whole aspect, but I want to start by talking about what I just mentioned a moment ago. And that has to do with the World Sound Healing Day. It's the 14th annual. The real irony is I've been doing this program for over 8 years, and this is the first time I've heard about it. It takes place next Sunday, February 14th, around the globe. And if you would, enlighten us about this. Educate us about this special event, this 14th. I love this. It's the 14th annual on the 14th.
Yes, I was very pleased this year when those numbers lined up. It would have been really cool if it was the 14th on the 14th of the 2014, but that didn't happen. Otherwise, it would have been 14, 14, 14. I have not a clue what that means. But anyway, World Sound Healing Day. Andy?
Oh, just so happy to be able to sharing this event with your audience, Richard, because at 14 years, you know, when you were mentioning that, you just heard about it, you know, last year. And I want to say that over the years, little by little, there has just been this movement, and more people hear about World Sound Healing Day each and every year. And in fact, this year, 2016, we have people facilitating toning groups to sound forth the ah sound with the intention of healing Mother Earth. We have people, Richard, in over 50 countries throughout the planet.
Wow.
It's really unique. We're going to travel back in the Wayback Machine, and we're going to go to more than 14 years ago. It would have been 15 years. I remember Andy and I were both meditating together, and this inner voice said, you have spent enough time, if you like. And at that point, it had probably been 20 years. I don't know. Anyway, enough time working, helping reawaken people to the power of sound as a personal healing modality. It's now time to include the power of sound as a planetary shifting consciousness. And I thought, great, wow, I loved it. I loved it. I love hearing these inner voices. The only difficulty for me is that was it. I would have loved a roadmap. I would have loved some sort of instruction book. I would have loved something to tell me how we could possibly shift and change the planet with sound. It was a great idea, but it was, I was like, what's going on here? And then all of a sudden, the idea sort of manifested, what if we took one day per year and had people make a sound? And they made a sound of, if you like, love, and they sent it to the planet.
Hmm.
Now, the question is, it turned out to be Valentine's Day. Well, by gosh and by golly, we thought, well, if we're going to be sending a sound of love to our planet, Valentine's Day seems as good a day as any. And something that very few people know is that Andy and I are co-directors of the Sound Healers Association, and the Sound Healers Association was actually formed on February 14th of 1982, which is something I hadn't realized at all. And it's slowly begun to grow and grow and grow. And we will tell you more. Going to let Andy say something.
Well, what's coming to mind that I would love for our listeners to know about, and Richard, I think you probably do know about it, but many years ago, back in the 80s, Jonathan devised a formula, and that formula is frequency, i.e. the sound, plus intent equals healing. And what we have discovered through the years is that the intention that is encoded on our sound is such an important aspect of producing healing. And so with World Sound Healing Day, you know, the fact that we're going to be sounding the ah sound, we encode the intention of planetary love and healing and harmony on that sound. So, Jonathan, I think you want to say something.
And then the next step is, wow, what a wacky idea. How real could this be? And what began to occur is that we began to get more and more scientific validation on the fact that human beings could get together and they could pray, they could meditate, and ultimately, from our perspective, they would make sacred sound, and that this could literally be a measurable phenomena that could affect an interface with the, if you like, I like to call it the Gaia Matrix, the planetary consciousness, or Mother Earth. This takes us, I guess, probably first to the Global Consciousness Project out of Princeton University.
Mm.
Now, they had these things called, they were doing experiments on psychic phenomena, among other things. I'm sure they had a very Princeton scholarly term for psychic phenomena, but basically that's what it was. And they would be using these random number generators, which are basically computers that just do zeros and ones. So sort of like flipping a coin. You flip a coin 100 times, you get 50 zeros, 50 ones. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a random number generator does. Well, what they found was that when events of high compassion occur, the numbers of the random number generator become less random. In other words, you get more ones or more zeros.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again, it happened. And it really was, you know, there's no explanation for what it is unless we begin to deal with quantum mechanics and all sorts of other things. But the reality is that if you were to graph an equal number of 50s and 1s, you'd basically just get a straight line going across. And on our website, which is healingsounds.com, one of the websites we're going to be giving out, you'll see a chart from one of the World Sound Healing Days done through the Global Consciousness Project, and it looks like a mountain because the random numbers created such a powerful effect. It wasn't a straight line. Something was going on.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, I remember having the opportunity of interviewing, I believe it was Howard Martin of the Heart Math. And
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah.
Good. Keep going.
And I was intrigued when he shared this with me for the very first time several years ago, specifically regarding, obviously, the events of 9/11 were pivotal as far as really showing the evidence of a change coming within minutes or hours of the actual event taking place. It was like the mass consciousness, as you've said, knew something was about to happen. And that something, of course, we all know what it was. I think that maybe in one sense that's sort of, well, maybe it's not necessarily the next step, but maybe it is that we then begin to understand that we can tap into and be aware of what's coming, you know, that is, you know, malevolent or beneficent, and sort of, in a manner of speaking, prepare for it, be aware of it, or maybe even if we are in that conscious state, we can have an impact, an influence. And I think that's where this world sound day, if you will, you know, comes up. This world sound healing day comes into play where, all right, you and I, the three of us, we know that if we can tap into with the sounds and the vibrations, the words, the intention, we can affect change. I think especially of the late doctor who in, I think it was Japan, who did the water crystals, for example.
Yeah, Masaru Emoto. I'm going to just break in for a minute
ahead.
And just take where you were going, because with the, if you like, the Global Consciousness Project and the random number generators, it was indeed hours before the plane struck that there was this shift and change in the graph that they were doing. But when you mentioned heart math, another thing that we do, which is interrelated with heart math, who, of course, now has the Global Coherence Initiative working with Global the Consciousness Project out of Princeton. But what they do is they do something called heart-brain coherence. And really simply what that is a manner of breathing coupled with visualization so that your heart and your brain are synchronized together. Now, when this occurs, the electromagnetic field, and we all know that our brain puts out an electromagnetic field, and a lot of people may know that our heart does too, but the electromagnetic field of our heart and our brain can be anywhere from 50 to 5,000 times greater than normal when it's in a state of incoherence. When it's in a regular stressed out state, ain't much happening. But when you're in a state of coherence, in calmness, giving thanks, the energy is just tremendous. And then what we have added, and I've spoken to Howard Martin about this, and he says, yeah, totally, all we need is, you know, give us enough money and we'll be able to show you the proof of it, and we haven't been able to do that. But the reality is that sound amplifies the power of this global coherence. On a level, from as easy and as simple as it may seem, there's a reason why the various prayers on our planet are, for the most part, vocalized. They may be spoken, they may be chanted, they may be whispered, they may be sung. It doesn't matter. They are vocalized, and through vocalizing our prayers, our meditation, our gratitude, our blessings, we are amplifying even further this coherence that occurs. I think that's one of the things that's really important, because through doing this and then interfacing with the field of our planet, we can literally shift the consciousness of all beings on the planet. And, you know, from our perspective, you know, if we can become a little bit more compassionate, a little bit more awakened, we may realize that we are all one and all these things that are occurring. You know, I was listening to your news that was going on the station and et cetera, can perhaps even be diverted if we work together.
Yeah, I am fascinated by, in particular, the science fiction series Star Trek, and have been, as we've talked before, and one of the things that I find, first of all, fascinating as far as the realities of things, first of all, when you watch the program, regardless of which series you watch, they're in outer space. And all of a sudden you hear this roaring and rushing sound as the ship goes past the camera lens. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there is no sound in space. What's going on here? But what I find interesting is the various uses of vibrational waves in the series, whether they're trying to create them to have a certain effect, i.e. intent, or whether they have been created in the universe that then affect them and ergo their ship.
Captain, the Hallmark shields are beginning to collapse. And then, of course, you have something like the tricorder.
Yes.
Which basically you hold over somebody. It basically is able to measure, from my perspective, the something that is going on today. Little did Gene Roddenberry know that... probably, you know, 40, 50 years afterwards, that they'd be able to measure the electromagnetic field that is over somebody and literally project frequencies that would balance out in, things. So it's very close to being real.
Yeah, it is, to say the very least, a more than a metaphor, obviously, but a metaphor for... our ability to do the same thing in our own lives and to affect the life of the planet. Now, there are those who would completely disagree, to which I would say, if you disagree, then tell me why, and because we are in an election year in this country, the words, the sounds that are uttered by the various candidates, and we're not just talking, pardon me, presidential, but across the board, have the effect or in effect that they do. I know that one candidate in particular, and I'm neither endorsing nor, I'm not endorsing in any way, shape, or form any candidate, but I take a listen to, and I put it in that context, someone like the doctor. Who is running? I think he was a cardiologist?
Yeah. Right, Dr. Carson.
Dr. Carson. And I listened to the lack of energy and intensity in his speech, okay, or the lack of volume and or sound. And then I listened to someone like a Bernie Sanders, who is extremely vociferous. And very, very passionate. And to me, that's sort of the interesting dichotomy that we face in this world. There are those who, they've got something to say. They feel passionate about something, but they don't have the intensity, the volume, if you will. I'm not even sure what other word other than those to put. In terms of saying what they need and want to say, that could make a huge difference in the direction of things. And again, I'm not even speaking here of the political candidates in this season. I'm talking about you and me, those who are listening. You know, do people hear you when you say the things that you say?
Just listen to his voice.
Well, one of the things that is coming to me, Richard, as you're talking, is that, you know, what we say, the intention behind the words are very, very potent. Mm-hmm. And when somebody really believes in what they're saying, that intention gets relayed out there to the listener. And there's also an element called entrainment, where, you know, we will begin to almost match, if you will, the energy of what whomever is speaking. For instance, if someone is has very low energy, you know, and we're listening to them, we may begin to feel low energy. Mm. If someone is very vibrant and alive, boy, then we are extremely vibrant and alive with them. And I think that that has a lot to do with what you're talking about. And it is our sound. Our sound is the carrier wave of that thought, of those words. So that's a few little thoughts that I have about it.
And, you know, as we're talking, I thought I'm being guided to wonder if you can cue up cut number 5, which is the heart chakra, because we're talking about World Sound Healing Day. And this recording features myself, Andy, and our dear friend Sarah Benson, who we call her, she's passed on to the angelic realm. We call her the Divine Mother of Sound. Mm. And she said...
And I have to just get this in because Sarah taught us and said that the true sound of healing is love. Mm. And we embrace that wholeheartedly.
So this is from my latest recording, which is called Healing Sounds, Frequencies 2. Can we get it queued up and ready to listen to it? It's about 3 minutes long, but you'll love it.
Thank you.
extraordinary, Jonathan and Andy Goldman, and that is the work that they have put together. And again, that particular selection was from Chakra Dance, and it's Heart Chakra. According to this, it's a remix, but needless to say, it's I like that. By the way, before we go to break, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, and I only caught this in an interview that I saw not too long ago. In regards to the theme music to the X-Files, and I found out that the wife of the composer, the creator of that music, he used her voice in that piece.
Wow.
That was astounding to me. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. I never would have thought that that was... Now, it's not just a woman's voice. There is some electronic instrumentation in there, too. But
wow.
Her voice is in there, too. And I thought, ooh, that's pretty cool.
We're going to listen to that next time because we are X-File fans.
Ah, well, I'm just getting into it myself.
I actually made up lyrics to that, but I'm not going to do it because of copyright reasons.
Ah.
But just as a quick thing, there was a sound on there, and, you know... You probably thought it was just a synthesizer or whatnot, but it was actually the sound of a humpback whale. So there's a lot of humpback whale sounds on there that sound like synthesizers, but they were totally organic. How's that for helping the Earth?
See, that's another aspect of it, too, is that we have listening devices pointed out into outer space, and we're just listening for stuff. I'm sure there are various numerous websites that you can go to listen to the sounds of space, and they'll define where the sound is coming from and so forth. But I, you know, it's like I never thought that you would be able to pick that up. But again, sound is a wave. Now, maybe if your exposed ear to space could be, you probably wouldn't hear anything. The human ear probably isn't sensitive enough, doesn't have the range, certainly. But they're picking stuff up, and it's not just any of our broadcast signals that are bouncing back to us. This is stuff that's coming from other planetary bodies or different things that are happening in the universe, and they're actually able to hear them. And to me, that's fascinating stuff, speaking of the X-Files. And we're going to take a short break here. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Richard Dugan along with Jonathan and Andy Goldman. We're talking, well, of course, we're talking about sound, but we are also talking about the day that's coming next week, next Sunday. And we encourage you to check it out as well. We're excited about all of this. This is a fun thing. It is World Sound Healing Day, February 14th. It's the 14th annual. We've kind of talked a little bit about that. And we will talk more about all of this and listen to some more selections here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Want you to stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with Jonathan and Andy Goldman. And we're talking about, of course, the very special day next Sunday of World Sound Healing Day, the 14th annual. And we are also very grateful for them spending time with us. Second visit for Jonathan. And we're certainly glad, Andy, that you were able to join us this time. This is an extraordinary day that's coming up. I mean, I'm aware of, and I think in some fashion I took part in what to me was one of the first metaphysical events of my lifetime back in the 80s, and that was the harmonic convergence. From my perspective, the next event that I considered of a metaphysical nature because of my perspective was Y2K. Because nothing happened, at least nothing happened that was predicted. I found that fascinating. I even remember somebody sharing with me that there was a lone woman in the 50s who was part of a team that was working on one of the major computers at that time. And believe it or not, that actual question came up. What happens at the end of the century with computers? Will there be a problem, et cetera, et cetera? And her answer was no. There'll be no problem. It'll just roll over. And yet, most everybody bought into that transition. Well, it was a transition, but not the kind of transition that you might think. Well, we have that same kind of potential for transition through World Sound Healing Day, and I want to talk a little bit more about that as well. But I want to ask you, Andy, how in the world did you how'd you get mixed up with this guy and this whole sound thing?
Oh, that's a great question, Richard. You know how there are just some people that you're going to get mixed up with, whether you plan it or you don't plan it. It just happens. And certainly this was the case with Jonathan and myself. My background is as a holistic psychotherapist. And, of course, I used a lot of expressive therapies in my practice. And when I met Jonathan, I honestly did not know what his background was. I didn't know that he was a pioneer in the field of sound. And, of course, after I got to know him and found out, you know, it was really, I was very interested in the whole field of sound as an expressive therapy to utilize with my clients. And so that's, you know, a little bit of the beginning of it. Hope that that helps a little bit for we've been together working together for over 20 years it was an absolutely wonderful match.
I have to interject something, because Andy is very humble, and she created something called Telecounsel, which was, to our knowledge, the world's first over the telephone counseling service, and she was written up in the New York Times and many other places, and this ultimately evolved into what we now today call coaching. People call up on the phone and they'll speak to somebody and they'll find a coach. Andy is the great-grandmother. I mean, she's great, and she's the grandmother of coaching, which is very, you know, she never tells anybody, so it's up to me to say, to the horn a little bit.
So what you're saying then is that this first telephone counseling process was what I've read about, where you dial this number, and a recording comes on saying, if you're manic if you're OCD, keep pressing 1 until someone answers. If you're suicidal, hang on, we'll get to you eventually. Humorous aspect of it. But I have to say that opens up the door in more ways than one for people who they don't know where to turn. And one of the concerns on the part of a lot of folks is that they don't, especially if they're in a position where they, say, have insurance, but they would really like to get some help, some support through whatever it is that they're going through, whether it's the loss of a loved one or whatever the process is. But they're also concerned about it going on their record, because now this thing is going to follow them around the rest of their lives, because now it's part of your, you know, medical record that you have this, you know, this condition. When in fact, it's not necessarily a condition as much as it's a phase. And if I can just, it's kind of like with a cold or a broken arm or appendix that's about to rupture, those can be taken care of and you pass through that phase onto hopefully a better life. But in our world, those kinds of things kind of stay with you. How do you work in that regard around that kind of fear of that stigma?
Well, Andy doesn't do that anymore.
Well, but you know, Jonathan, even if I did, I think one of the important things to say about that is that the more open dialogue there is about mental health, mental illness, people that are needing to get help, it is an illness, and it can be just a phase. But if people can get help without the stigma, that is really super important. And I think that in 2016, We have a long way to go. However, I think more and more that dialogue is being positively opened up. I'm constantly reading articles and, seeing different periodicals and magazines and so forth that are saying, let's open up the dialogue. Let's talk about mental health. Let's help and not hinder by keeping it a secret. So it just really is a matter of more open communication.
But I will also say that you can hear her voice, which is incredibly loving and kind.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it. And the reality is that not everybody can listen to somebody on the other end of the phone and literally read their voice and read their emotional and psychological condition.
Yeah.
And Andy has that ability. So on a level, that's an extraordinary aspect of sound healing. You were talking about words.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, our words create emotions and all sorts of other things.
Well, and what I'd like to kind of back up just a little bit, Richard, because
mm-hmm.
I know that there are people out there who do want to participate in World Sound Healing Day, and I'd like to talk a little bit about how they can do that, because there might be people out there that are stressed and maybe need a little bit of TLC, and World Sound Healing Day is certainly an avenue for that, because people throughout the planet are gathering. They are forming groups where they will get together on February 14th. However, if you can't do that, you can, even just by yourself, tune in to Mother Earth and begin to sound the ah sound, ah, holding the intention of love. And that in and of itself can help somebody feel so much better.
And I forgot to say that we created the world's first, sacred toning chamber called Temple of Sacred Sound.
Yes, I was just looking at that. Fascinating.
People can go there and they can begin to tone along with other people who are toning at the Temple of Sacred Sound.org.
Great geometries there. It's really a wondrous thing. And, Spirit helped this thing manifest so rapidly and so wonderfully, and we give thanks.
Yeah, so on World Sound Healing Day, you can sound with a group of people that you may want to organize. You can sound by yourself. You might even want to take 5 minutes during the course of that day with sounding the intention of healing Mother Earth. And, of course, as we are healing Mother Earth, we are also healing ourselves.
You know, we're talking about the power of words and the vibrations that we create. And when you talk about the ah or even om, there is the distinct use of the breath. Now, granted, you know, you're going to sing, you're going to talk, you're going to breathe, granted. But in this context, you're actually hearing, in a manner of speaking, you're actually hearing the sound of the air as it is leaving through the ah. You can hear that, whereas with an M, okay, or a consonant, or say the letter M or N, it's more you feel the vibration within you. You don't hear the flow of the air like you would in a vowel in that respect.
It's so interesting. I just got done talking with this doctor probably an hour before the show, and we were talking about various things, and he was talking about fact that most doctors have not taught their patients how to diaphragmatically breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's chapter 3 of our new latest book that we're working on. So it's and then he said, they haven't thought about the importance of intention. I said, that's chapter 4 of the book. You know, so it's like,
well, and the thing is, without our breath, there is simply no sound. It's as though our breath carries that sound. Our sound rides on the breath. So indeed, Richard, that was an excellent point. The breath is crucial when we are making sound and breathing from deep down in our bellies. I like to call it belly breathing, mm-hmm. that in-breath, that inhale, and then that sound rides on that exhale, that out-breath.
Yeah.
Totally. And something to say in praise of Temple of Sacred Sound is simply that it is, you know, when you listen to it, you'll hear the sounds of thousands of other people also intoning this ah sound. We have a number of different chambers, but the reason I say that's really cool is because one of the things that we do, everybody does different things. There are workshops, there are groups of two or three people who gather together. We do something here in Boulder around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a little free event, and we get a couple of hundred people who make that ah sound for about an hour, and it literally becomes almost a psychotropic experience, because very few people have made extended sound for that long, and it changes your brain waves, your heart rate. It basically does extraordinary things to your vibratory field.
And that is actually something that people can find if they click through the website, which is worldsoundhealingday.org. That's worldsoundhealingday.org. And they will actually be able to pull down a WAV file of what you're listening to now.
Hello, this is Jonathan Goldman. I'm going to be leading you in a brief guided meditation that will assist you in creating coherence of your heart and your brain.
Let's talk a little bit, Jonathan, because I'm going to let our listeners go to that website and download this file. We'll listen to another piece of that in a little bit, as well as one or two of the other tracks that we have. Let's talk about the whole aspect of coherence. Define it, and what does it mean in this context of what we've been talking about?
Well, it's so interesting because it seems to be becoming a buzzword. I've just been reading this series of, I'm not sure if they're young adult novels or not, but it's about a group of people who are telepaths, and they talk about the fact that when they get into a state of when they're taught how to get into a state of coherence, and coherence simply means that your heart and your brain are creating a wave that is in synchrony with itself. And probably the easiest way that you can do that is simply to find yourself being thankful, being in gratitude, being in appreciation, just taking a breath, thinking of something that you feel really good about. And one of the things that we do on World Sound Healing Day, we think that perhaps one of the focal points of it is noontime New York time. We just had to choose a time, but mm-hmm. it's noontime anytime. And in fact, it's any time you can create the space.
Right.
So Andy and I do a lead-up to World Sound Healing Day that this station graciously has given to us for 14 years. And you should hear her when she leads you in a meditation to create, global coherence and group coherence. Andy, can you say a couple of words, or are you too embarrassed?
Well, I think the important thing, and Jonathan, you mentioned this, the important thing is being in a state of appreciation, being in a state of gratitude. And as we're breathing in and sounding the ah sound, if we can vibrate in a state of thanksgiving, even just being thankful for being able to have a voice, you know, find anything you want to be thankful for, but just being in that state of appreciation, and that coherence occurs, and that electromagnetic field of the heart begins to become greater and greater and greater, and connects with the electromagnetic field of the heart energy on the planet overall. So I would just encourage people to be in that state of appreciation as they are going to be sounding, and as they are sounding forth with that ah sound.
Beautiful, beautiful, indeed.
Yeah.
Richard, I just got the hit that perhaps we could hear an excerpt from something that we haven't played on your show, which is the heart chakra from the Crystal Bowls Chakra Chants album.
Mm-hmm.
And so also people can sit there and sometimes just breathe appreciation if they have a crystal bowl or a Tibetan bowl or whatnot. So let's listen to this for a minute, because there's just a whole energy and radiance of love occurring through this. And of course, in the background, I am working with the Bija mantra for the heart center, as well as the asan for the heart center. So let's give a listen to this for a moment, if we can.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I know. I'm I'm there too. That's
and
very wonderful.
I think that listening to certain types of music is also a way of creating coherence.
I would agree with you. You know, the other aspect of all of this too, for me, and when you talk about listening to different things in one's life. I don't know if I shared this with you in our last interview, Jonathan, but I've begun the process of going back, if you will, and re-listening to my favorite music from my favorite artist, going back to the 1970s, because his music, even though he has passed on, and I find it interesting that my three favorite artists are all dead. But you know, what are you going to do? But I find it interesting that going back and listening, I'm hearing new things in the music, not just the words, which I, of course, as we all do, I thought I knew the words, the lyrics to that song, and you Google them and going, oh, those weren't the words. But then you hear more the intricacies. Maybe it's because I've had more experience in life now. I've heard other things, and it's opening up those channels, if you will. But I find it actually kind of, I almost want to say gratifying to be able to do this. And it seems to me like there's a series of albums that I bought back in the 70s, early 80s. At the time, it was only four. It was four records. And you may be familiar with this, Jonathan. I don't know. Maybe I mentioned this before. The Golden Voyage series.
Sure.
And I just happened to come across those albums again in my collection as I was also kind of looking for them as MP3s online. And then, of course, they came out with a fifth and a sixth and so forth. But I remember how powerful listening to some of these things were as I was growing up. So what are your thoughts maybe about, so to speak, going back in time to listen to some of the things that really resonated with us as we were, as we maybe were growing up in that respect? Your thoughts?
I have three things to say. Number one, it's interesting because Andy has just entered one of my albums for this, you know, potential award, because it was not limited to just albums that were released this year. And I just thought, well, you know, these, from my perspective, good music does not go bad. It just always is great. Number two, if I were to tell you that just this week, for the first time, I literally licensed a psychotropic Beatles song that I'm working on in order to release, even though the person who created it certainly passed away and there are Strawberry Fields Forever with regard to this person. And it's just that I wish I could say from a personal level that it doesn't freak me out that some mornings I wake up and I've been hearing songs that my parents liked that I wasn't even around for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because I think that as we grow and change and evolve, you know, we hear these songs, we hear these pieces really from a different vantage point in our lives. And I think that there is something to be said about going back in time, Richard, and re-listening to some of these songs that were so powerful in our youth. And I like that we can look at them through a different lens and feel differently and, you know, glean different things out of them.
Yeah.
But isn't it amazing that music, well, at least certain music, can for us have as great power, perhaps even greater power than when we first heard it. It really gives testament to the transformational power of music and sound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I've also, of course, because I stopped purchasing the albums of this particular artist, not because he had passed away, mind you, just that, you know, my interest had shifted slightly. And I wasn't as into music as I was prior. And so I didn't have a lot of the later works. And now I go back. I know who this artist is. I really like what he does. And now I'm hearing some of this new stuff. It's not really new anymore, but you know what I mean. And I'm going, wow, boy, he stayed on purpose. He stayed on message. And then I'm able to correlate between the three artists and how they were all, in essence, saying exactly the same thing in their music. And I will tell you, the three artists are John Denver, Dan Fogelberg, and Harry Chapin.
Wow.
You know, and I would have thought that it might have been David Bowie.
Glenn Frey.
And, you know, that's so interesting. John, oh. And well, they're the lovely, lovely beings, my goodness gracious. And for me, you know, Bowie's passing was almost spooky because his latest album, Lockstar, was released just a couple of days before he passed on.
Yes.
And I've begun listening to that song, and I haven't listened to Bowie in, a really long time, and it's really for me very, very transcendent. So, and Andy.
Well, music, sound, it goes right in it. It bypasses. I know with sound, it just kind of bypasses that left brain. It goes into that right brain area. And
that limbic system, yeah.
Yeah, and you just feel. You feel the sound. You feel the music. And it's such a great gift from the universe to that there is such a thing as music and sound that we are able to tune into to feel better about our lives and about ourselves.
And you note that we once again differentiate between music and sound simply because we just figure we can get a whole lot more people involved in any activity if they work with sound rather than thinking that music is wonderful, but it's exclusive. If you can't, everybody can listen for sure, but not everybody can play and be a part of a musical activity. Mm-hmm. Everybody can be a part of a sonic activity.
Absolutely.
Everybody can sound, everybody can make that sound, and that's really what we're about.
Yeah. I took part in some personal growth intensives back in both 1980 as well as in the 90s. And one of the most extraordinary sounds I remember the group creating was, at first glance, was a very disharmonious ohm. But the longer you did it, the longer you stayed in it, and they would for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, and of course you obviously have to take a breath, and people would maintain the notes that, again, at first tone, it's like, oh my gosh, this is like fingernails on a chalkboard. But the further you got into it, the more harmonious it began to sound like.
And probably you were actually having a physiological phenomena of, as Andy mentioned, entrainment, which was that people, just by the very nature and as they're sounding together, would draw closer and closer together and more in harmony and more in synchronization, more in coherence, just by its nature, without anybody teaching them to sing right or wrong or anything like that. It would just happen. Mm-hmm. They would create a field of sound that was just magnificent.
Well, one of the things that we do know from the peer review research, and that is that when we are making sound together, the hormone oxytocin is produced, and that is the trust hormone. And therefore, when we're in a group of people and we're sounding, such as you were doing, Richard, with that ohm, it became more of a trusting, good feeling group that changed from the disharmony in the beginning to harmony as it continued.
And it was a wonderful metaphor, too, for each of the levels of this intensive that I went through over the course of the 1980, 81, I think 82, and then into the 90s, because when you first start, when you first step into that room and you meet all of these strangers, and you start passing judgment, and you say, just based on appearance and maybe a real quick, cursory introduction, I would like to associate with them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. And when you come out the other end after 5 days, 3 evenings and two full days of these intensives, what I experienced was those people that I had prejudged that I wanted nothing to do with, I was the closest to. And those people that I, at the beginning, wanted to associate with, I actually had nothing to do with. I mean, we never connected. And that the group as a whole, collectively, was unified. And so it's the same thing with that oming, that tone, that the longer you stayed in the tone, and they didn't change their the range. They were asked to stay. Whatever note you come in on, stay there. Stay there. And again, so the longer you carried that out, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, the more harmonious it began to sound in your ear and to your being, the vibrations. Now, that's another aspect. You use the differentiation between music and sound. Now, let's add vibration, because both music and sound are. But from your perspective, talk to us about vibration.
By gosh and by golly, I would perceive that the vibration is in that sound is vibration. Music is vibration. They are one and the same. The one thing I wanted to say to you was that every year, now we're going on 21 years, we do a 9-day healing sounds intensive where Richard, well, you know, we speak a lot because there's a lot of, you know, left brain knowledge about sound and how to use everything from tuning forks to Tibetan bowls to using your voice to scan another person, project healing frequencies, and then we do a lot of sound and trance dancing at night. But it's just an extraordinary phenomena, and a lot of people say it's the most transformational experience that they've had. So in terms of if you were to go into an intensive that is dedicated to vibration, by gosh and by golly, can you imagine the miraculous things that might occur?
Astounding things that could occur. But let me put a twist. Now, Jonathan, I shared this with you in our last program. Matter of fact, I alluded to it, and you wanted to hear about it right from the start. But Annie, I don't know if she is aware of it. Maybe you've listened to the previous interview. Having to do with what I discovered through a process going from analog to digital recording and editing. And the first experience I had of this was when I was working for a station back in Phoenix, where we were still using cart decks and reel-to-reels and turntables with vinyl. And I'm so grateful that vinyl is certainly not disappeared, as even making a comeback. But the engineer was hooking up a turntable and said, "Okay, put a record on there. Let's take a listen and make sure everything's okay." And I started playing it, and at first it sounded okay, but then, of course, I'm waiting for the vocal to come in, and the vocal never came in. And this was a vocal record. And what he had done was, of course, he'd wired it up out of phase. Well, when I received my first editing program, at that time, Cool Edit, and I started playing around with the
cool
stereo.
Edit.
Oh, yeah. Now Adobe Audition. I began playing around with the two channels of a genuine stereo recording and then a monaural stereo recording. In other words, both tracks are monaural. And taking one of the channels out of phase and mixing the two channels together, I was able to make my own soundtrack tracks, if you will, sing-alongs, if you will, or karaoke, as you might think. Whereas if I was using a monaural signal, a monaural file with two channels, and I took one out of phase and I mixed them together, they canceled each other out because they were identical. So I share, you know, and of course I shared this with Stephen Lewis of MC Squared, the company. And I went to a Wayne Dyer concert where I was able to share this with him, and I was trying to set up an interview, and his secretary said, "Oh no, he won't talk about that because it could turn into the wrong could fall into the wrong hands." And I'm sitting here thinking, "What? I'm the only human being on the planet that found this? Really? That's amazing." But I want to ask you about that in terms of vibration. And you talk about how incredible the intensives would be and the incredible things that would happen. But what about this aspect? It seems to me like, I suppose, anything can be used for not so good. But it just seems to me like sound and light are the two things that can't be polluted. I mean, sound is sound. It's vibration
Richard,
is out
Richard,
there.
That's absolutely not true.
Not true. Okay.
No, it isn't, man.
then enlighten me, please.
You know, in terms of light, man, you take a laser and you point it at somebody and you do it the wrong way, that's not going to be beneficial. You know, as you probably well know, music has been used negatively in terms of working with prisoners of war and playing certain pieces of music too loud and too long and driving them, crazy. Andy.
Well, and precisely the reason why, you know, our intention that, you know, we focus so much on is that of love and that of harmony and that of appreciation. And we really bring in the positive aspects because that's where we want our focus to be.
Right. And I'm certainly aware of these instances as well. I was just wanting to bring this up that, you know, it's what your intent is. It truly is. And if you want to make a better world for yourself and for others, then you need to focus your intent. We've used the analogy on this program, Andy and Jonathan, that we have a lifeboat. And there is enough room on this lifeboat for the 7.5 to 8 billion people. The only condition for admittance to this lifeboat is that you be willing to let go of the old ways of doing things that don't work. And there are a lot of them. and it's one of those aspects that I think, As I recall, for some reason, what comes to mind is something my father told me many years ago, and this, to me, does apply to this aspect of sound and vibration and so forth and intent, that he said to me that I could sell ice cubes to Eskimos. He says, that's how persuasive I can be. But I'm not a fan of course, being a salesman in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
However, on this point, as we are talking on this program, I would love to have people metaphorically buy what we're selling. And that's a better world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the reason I so jumped on the fact that I believe that anything that can be used positively also has its negative aspects simply is that I remember in 1982, wow, I was on a board of healers at an expo, and the question was, can your whatever you're doing be used negatively? And every person except me said, no, it's impossible. And I looked up, I said, you're all deluding yourself. I said, every one of you are doing a process that, if improperly done, if not, et cetera, you know, or if used with a different intention, can cause some harm. Yeah. And that's just the way it is. That's why we need to be so cautious. I mean, I think not so much with the phase phenomena that you were talking about, you know, with Wayne Dyer, but, you know, the fact is that sound is an extraordinary thing. Here's a quote from the New York Times. Andy?
Oh, sound shaped into dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. And Richard, that is a quote from the New York Times science section, 1988. So sound has got enormous power.
And, so a great potential to heal anything because it can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. Or at the same time, remember what happened with Joshua and the walls of Jericho.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and of course, the greatest modern day example was on that episode of The Big Bang Theory, where they put a mixture of baking soda and water on top of a piece of cellophane sitting on top of a giant speaker and then cranked up the woofer, and you watched it jump around into different cohesive shapes.
Oh, yeah.
Levitate objects.
Yeah, that's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is the work of Dr. Hans Jenny, who termed that cymatics. You ever hear Sheldon do the...
Yes, the Tibetan
the Mongolian
throat.
Deep voice.
Yes, uh-huh.
It's hilarious when he does that. But
you do pretty good, too.
But, not bad. But, you know, it's so interesting. And there's something now, and I'm going to make this really fast because we have so much You know, that, you know, one can talk about it. You know,
sure.
I mean, I can talk for 9 days. But recently, somebody sent me a video clip of a guy who's a college professor working with some scientists and medical people, and basically they were basically blowing up cancer cells with sound. Now, this was astounding to watch. It was from a TED talk. Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, this same phenomena had occurred in the 1930s with a guy by the name of Royal Rife.
I know of him well. I actually narrated their video.
Wow.
Okay, so I need not tell you what happened to Royal Rife. Please
yes.
be the one.
Yes. I'll have them go to his their website and check out the video. But that's, to me, when I was reading the narration to that, I think it was an hour-long video, I was astounded, even though I was familiar with the technology. I'm sitting here going, my God, this is not something new. This has been around for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years and longer. I mean, you used the example of Jericho and so forth, blowing the horns and knocking the walls down. It's an extraordinary thing that, I mean, I never, in my peers in broadcasting, I never used to put headphones on and crank the volume up. I didn't really work for music stations either, but, I never did that. So my hearing is still pretty darn good, to the extent that we were doing a program once and we were using what's called a KC loop, a phone loop between the broadcast site and the, transmission site. And somebody dropped something onto the glass-covered table. It was just a little tinkle. And I said, and I'm 10 miles away, you might want to have them pick up that paper clip and put it back on their paper. Because, and there was silence, and they said, how did you know? And I said, because it sounded like a paper clip. Which is interesting, because it takes me into the realms of radio theater that I used to produce back in the 80s. And early 90s, and the very first play that I ever produced, there was a sound that we needed of a necklace or a chain around someone's neck being pulled off. And we had read the notes from Norman Corwin, the late Norman Corwin, and they even tried using a necklace around someone's neck and pulling it, and it didn't sound like a necklace being torn off. What they ended up using was the breaking of a chicken wing. Or bone.
Oh my gosh.
That was the sound.
And you know what they used to use to emulate the sound of fire? Because it's very hard. Did you know what they used to use and still do on a lot of sound effects recordings?
I'm going to say cellophane crinkling in your hand.
You got it.
That's why I've always enjoyed listening to, of course, and it's still on the radio, thank goodness, Prairie Home Companion.
Oh,
when I was
yeah.
a kid growing up, I used to listen to E.G. Marshall's CBS Mystery Theater. Absolutely loved that stuff. The material of the late Stan Freberg as well, one of my idols. It's amazing what you can create. I still remember we needed the sound in this particular play of Corwin's, the sound of shovels. Well, we didn't have any shovels, but we had a big old mound of dirt in the yard near the station. So we took, at that time, the IBM Selectric copy holder, which was made of metal. And we took a Marantz tape recorder and a microphone, and we went out there, and we didn't make a sound, but we would push this thing into the dirt and move it around and what have you. Now, the amazing thing, and this has happened to me on more than one occasion, when we laid this down in our method under the track of the actor, the cast member, and when he did his lines, we said, we need you to make it sound like you're digging, okay, in terms of the breath and the intensity and so forth.
Yeah.
When I laid this track down underneath him, it sounded like he was actually outside digging. And it meshed up so incredibly well. It was almost spooky, but it was incredibly gratifying. And this was the very first play I had ever produced, which was Norman Corwin's Moat Farm Murder. But again, we go back to this whole aspect of sound, and you know what you've talked about in terms of anything can be used for evil as well as good. But sometimes we don't always hear what we think we hear.
Well, that gets into a whole another realm of consciousness, of which I don't believe we have time to talk about.
But
Jung's here anywhere from 16 to probably around 16,000 cycles a second. Yours might be better. Look, when we're younger, we hear up to 20,000 cycles a second. Both Andy and I are over 60, and our hearing has decreased. Dolphins hear up to 180,000 cycles a second rather than 16,000 cycles, which is more than 10 times our level of hearing. So there's a whole, our concept being that everything is in a state of vibration. Everything is making a sound. Whether or not we can hear that sound is besides the point.
Well, you also just raised something. Have you ever stood somewhere away from a city out in nature and just listen? Now, I'm not talking about hearing the flora and the fauna, the wind through the trees. I'm talking about the sound of the planet.
Well, you, sir, are certainly an elevated consciousness being, if we can talk about that, because that is that's an amazing gift that not that many people who have been away from the beeping horns and electromagnetic fields have been able to tap into. So I congratulate you. You have been honorarily awarded a Shabd Yoga mastership through that statement.
I thank you. I am very grateful for that.
Shabd Yoga, incidentally, is it's the audible sound stream, but it basically takes you into an inner listening that is quite advanced.
Well, and I shared this with Jonathan, Andy, the last time we were on the program, that I had the privilege of going inside a prehistoric chamber of a mound in Ireland. It's called Newgrange. Mm-hmm. And they will not allow you to record in any way, shape, or form any images or sounds in that chamber out of respect for the ancient ones. And I stood in there, and it was a very eclectic chamber with little compartments throughout, but the acoustics were like perfect. It wasn't hollow sounding like you might think it would be, nor was it dead. And I know, Jonathan and Andy, you know what a dead room can sound like because you have too much soundproofing, for example, on the walls and the ceiling and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Are you psychic? Are you in this room right now? Because it is a pretty dead room.
We're in the studio.
We're in the studio. Yes.
But you're sounding very much alive. Very much alive.
Thank goodness.
All right.
Now, Jonathan, I had the privilege of asking you these questions, and I thank you for them in our last interview. So I'm going to ask Andy these questions as we wrap up our program. I want to thank both of you, first of all, for joining us on the program and taking so much time to share with us. And I encourage everybody to get involved with the World Sound Healing Day, which is next Sunday from midnight to midnight, and whatever noontime you want to pick, because it's noon somewhere on the planet, go for it. Or just any time throughout the day or all day long, for that matter. Maybe put the sound on a loop and just have it playing in the background all day and all night long. That's the one thing I love about technology, is I can put stuff on a loop, and I'm proficient enough where I can make it sound continuous, seamless. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. But let me ask you, Andy, as I asked Jonathan, who is Andy Goldman?
Well, now that is indeed a very deep, deep question. And gosh, Richard, I would just have to say that I don't know who Andy Goldman is. How did I speak through this person, Andy Goldman? You know, Richard, I honestly, it's such a mystery who we are. That I don't know who Andy Goldman is, other than right now in this moment being this voice that is speaking to you, sharing with you lots of information on World Sound Healing Day and sound healing, and just being able to express the love that energetically is coming through right now. That's who I am in this moment, I would have to say.
I like the agnostic answer. That's a good answer. Let me ask you, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Oh, that is a beautiful question, Richard. And I think that, you know, I can really answer that by saying being of service to our planet and assisting people in waking up, and, you know, that lifeboat that you talked about earlier, where, you know, you get on that lifeboat just with the intention of doing things differently and doing things that don't work anymore. And I would love to be able to assist people in raising their consciousness and beginning to experience their lives in ways that they long to experience them with lots of love and compassion and loving kindness. And that's what I'd like to continue to do.
And finally, who inspires you?
Who inspires me? There are many, many people who inspire me, and I think I become the most inspired, Richard, when I notice or see someone doing an act of kindness for another human being. I become very inspired to amp up my compassion. So I get inspired not necessarily by someone famous that, you know, has done all of these wonderful things, but I get inspired by just that person who emits an act of love.
Well, Andy and Jonathan, I want to thank you. It's very gracious that you've spent so much time with us, and we hope that you will avail yourselves of the very invitation I think I placed in Jonathan's lap the last time we talked, and that is that if you ever find yourselves in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
We would love to be there, Richard. This has been just wonderful, and thank you for inviting us.
Right, just wonderful, and I indeed, you may be expecting a phone call from me in the not-too-distant future, because there's a couple of things you inspired me. You inspired me.
Yes, I was inspired by this program today,
but I would
Richard.
Like to thank you so much for your help and your support with the World Sound Healing Day. As Andy and I like to say, we heal the planet.
We heal ourselves.
We heal ourselves.
Mm. We heal the planet.
We can make a difference, and it is our choice.
Well, again, I thank you both so much. We are actually going to go out with the training file, if you will, or sounds, and we encourage you to go to the website, worldsoundhealingday.org. There's also give me the website for that a wonderful sacred temple, online temple, which I think is really cool.
templeofsacredsound.org, and also finally our mothership of a website is healingsounds.com.
And sounds is plural. Healingsounds.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
wonderful.
Come and visit us anytime.
Absolutely.
And we send blessings of light and love to you and all of your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.